What's up, guys? Last night's ESPYs were an epic mix of sports and politics. What were the highlights and what were the lowlights? We're going to also backtrack a little bit and talk about Mo Money, Mo Problems, which is also known as NBA Free Agency. We've got a full, exciting show, so stick around for everything up next on Sports Weekly.
You are tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Sports Weekly.
When I wake up in the morning, I love and count my money. I'm so wavy, I'm so wavy, I'm
we
so wavy.
We wavy like that
yeah,
today?
We are wavy.
Hey.
All my bitches love me. What? We're wavy because we've been off for 2 weeks.
2 weeks, we are
back.
Yeah, we're back. And the squad's all here.
The whole squad.
The whole squad's all here. That's right, that's right. You guys, we're so wavy, and y'all are wavy because you're watching Sports Weekly on BHL every other Thursday night at 7 o'clock until football season starts, and then we're back to our regularly scheduled program. But until August, every other Thursday, thanks for catching us. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Snapchat, Periscope, Twitter, and on Instagram, being so wavy at Erica Renee D.
Yes, sir, and you know what it is. I am Andre on Instagram and Twitter with a U.
With a U.
With a U. Don't forget about the U, man.
And I'm Raina Ale. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_Ale with an H.
And I am the one, the only, Joshua Johnson. Find me on social media at JJ the Talented.
And as always, you can follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow Black Hollywood Live on Twitter at BHL Online. And follow us on Sports Weekly. Follow us on Instagram at The Sports Weekly. Shout out to Charlie, our other host, who holds down the Instagram page. Thanks, Charlie.
Good job, Charlie.
Lock right now,
he does.
Man. Every day, man, I see something.
Every like few hours.
He's on it, right?
He is. All right. Starting off with the ESPYs. ESPYs last night. Sports, politics, lots of tears, lots of important social issues brought to the forefront. We're going to talk about the highlights, the lowlights, what you liked, what you didn't like. Let's start off with John Cena as a host. What did you guys think about John Cena?
Loved it.
As a host.
I thought he was funny. He might not have written the jokes, but I thought some of them, like a lot of them hit. I thought it was funny jokes.
What was your favorite?
I don't remember, but I remember laughing while I was eating, watching the show.
I think he did all right, but I think my favorite host for the ESPYs was Drake. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I forgot about Drake.
I loved when Drake hosted. It was so funny.
Drake did his thing.
He was smooth.
Drake just smooth.
And the jokes.
He made it.
The skits are really good. The skits were hilarious.
I think he did his thing. I don't think he's a great host in general, but I think the jokes were great. So it made the show pretty good because the jokes were great. The jokes really, really were great.
Yeah.
I like the early ones about like LeBron James that they had towards the beginning.
And Kevin Love.
And they came in strong with him. So, yeah.
That was a little uncomfortable though, talking about how Kevin Love disappeared. But I mean, that's what comedy is. Makes you uncomfortable while you're telling the truth.
Yeah.
That's true.
He poked fun at Roger Goodell for being like the master manipulator of the NFL. Poked fun at Tom Brady for being the golden boy who, for once in his life, cannot get something to go his way. I don't know. I was a little bit underwhelmed. I was privileged enough to be able to attend the ESPYs last night.
What about when Hannibal Buress came out? Back from the Future.
You know, I think Hannibal is very talented, but I don't. Those jokes kind of fell flat to me.
No, some of the Future.
No.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's weird. I think Cena, he's not like typically a host like that.
No, he's a wrestler.
I think the topics were kind of uncomfortable. So it worked. The fact that he didn't have like that crazy experience and he was trying to warm up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like it worked because it's not his thing. But the topics are real touchy. Like so.
And he poked fun at himself. I think he talked about how sports entertainment, is the intersection.
Absolutely. And even at the beginning, he was like, I shouldn't be the host. Remember, he was like, at the beginning, that was one of his first jokes, was saying like, oh, you guys didn't know I was really the host. You know, so.
He's really, okay, well, I mean, we're not completely underwhelmed by John Cena, but we wouldn't have him back. Would we have him back as a host?
Nah.
I would have Drake back.
You're right?
Drake.
She stuck on Drake.
It was so funny.
He was funny, though, Drake.
He was.
I don't even remember the Blake Griffin and Drake was mocking him or something. It was so funny.
Those were good. Okay, so John Cena opens up the show poking fun at himself, poking fun at Roger Goodell and Tom Brady. Then the show takes a turn for it. Well, I guess, wait, the call to action was before John Cena, actually, I believe, with Carmelo.
Yeah, it was at the beginning.
Yeah, it was the beginning. The beginning of the show. So the show opened up with Carmelo, CP3, LeBron, and D-Wade, which is going to be the future Dream Team. I don't know if it's going to be the Clippers or the Cavs or wherever they're going to be, but that, I think they're going to play together one day. I think that was like the foreshadowing to be like, look, dude, this is...
I think they're working it out, too.
This is what's coming.
Yeah.
They signing these little 1-2 year deals, trying to like...
You don't have CP3 and D-Wade and...
I don't know. D-Wade went home to Chicago.
But yeah, I'm saying, but CP3, D-Wade at both at the Cavs, huh? Okay. Or
we'll see.
We'll see.
Kyrie does.
Kyrie. Okay, so call to action by Melo, CP, D-Wade, LeBron. They made a very strong statement about how we need to quit killing each other. We need to have more policing of law enforcement. And that D-Wade had a really good quote, actually. I wrote it down. He says that the shoot-to-kill mentality has to stop, and the not seeing the value in black and in brown lives has to stop. And LeBron says this is a call to action to educate ourselves and to speak up as athletes. So basically they said as athletes, it is not just about it being our responsibility. We have to, you know, do what the Muhammad Ali's and the Billie Jean King's did, and we have to use our platforms for a positive. And right now we have so much tragedy going on in our communities. We have to use our voices to make this world a better place. What do you guys think of starting the show off this way and their stance on what's going on politically?
I thought it was strong for ESPN to really allow, because that was really the topic of like the whole show. And ESPN was really, I mean, everything, it was out there. They put everything out there. They didn't hold back. And I feel like even when Eric Berry won his award for the
cancer.
It was outstanding comeback. You know, athlete of the year, and even his speech was real powerful. I feel like the message was like, let's just finally take advantage of our platform as athletes, as people, and take a stand. I think that was throughout the show, and I thought that it was a strong way to open it up.
And I think it was good that it was them four too. They're the Carmelo, but the all-stars of the NBA.
Yeah,
and Carmelo's been very vocal since it started with. Like his Instagram, I know he posted something really deep. I think it was special. I think it was a good move for ESPN. I have to agree with you. I think that was a great way to start the show and just be like, that's the foundation for everything.
Yeah, seeing them united like that to start it off, kick off the show, was really encouraging to see, you know, guys at the top of their craft, the top of their game, mm-hmm. who are really taking an interest in making sure that they lend their voice. Because, I mean, you know, they do have followers. They are, whether they want to be or not, they are role models for a lot of people, a lot of the younger generation. People do look up to them, and they'll do and follow along with what they say. So when, you know, ESPN put them in that spot at the opening of the show, to have them give that message, I think it did a lot of good.
And we've talked a lot in the past about whether or not athletes should take that role of being a leader and taking the vocal issue, I mean the social issues, and being vocal about them. You even said recently, Dre, that you didn't think that OJ, you know, should have used his platform. He can use his platform for whatever he wants to use it for. But there's been between Alton Sterling and Philando Castile, I feel that there's been so much unrest in the black community that these athletes who make so much money, who come from communities that these black men are being killed in, I don't even think they have a choice. I mean, of course you have a choice, but I think it's brainless and careless and thoughtless to not speak up. I mean, and I know everyone has an opinion. Everyone has a choice to stay silent. But I think every public figure, even us, you know, we have followers. We have people who tune into us every week. We have people who follow us on social media. I feel like it's the responsibility of every public figure who has any kind of following to speak out against these kinds of injustices, because it has just been beyond unbelievable and unfair. So.
I mean, I agree. I agree to an extent, but to the extent of that, we have a choice. You have a choice. Yeah. Every person has their life, their choice, their post, their opportunity to make whatever type of impact they want to make on the world. You know, okay. We respect those guys for getting up there and doing that.
We do.
After, you can't do anything but take your hat off to them cats for doing that. But at the same time, it's a lot of cats that weren't up there. I mean, it was just those four guys. It was a lot of guys that aren't choosing to focus on it, and that's okay too. You know,
I think the balance is important.
I think the balance is the
most
important.
I think sometimes some of the athletes or the public figures that choose to not step up and say something, maybe they're not very educated in what's going on, okay. And they don't want to say the wrong Absolutely. Thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes it's kind of unfair for us to say, oh, you need to, because I read some comments on some celebrities' pages that maybe post a picture of, like, I don't know, their coffee of the day or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I can't believe you're not posting anything about what's going on right now. Maybe they don't really know what to say yet. Maybe they just don't want to. They're not educated enough in what's going on. Mm-hmm. But I do have respect for those who have stepped up and who have made a public statement about what's going on today.
Yeah, so they are putting their, you know, they're putting something on the line when they make a statement. You know, because they will have the people who agree with them, but they'll mm-hmm. also have the people who will, you know, speak against what they're doing and will disagree with them. Mm-hmm. And that could affect a lot of things with, you know, that, you know, we always talk about whether something they say affects their money or mm-hmm. their standing or their whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you're going to get both sides. But the ones who do speak out, I think it says something that they do for sure. But also, you know, like you said, Dre, hats off to them because
I would have liked to see Kevin Durant up there as well with those guys. That would have been kind of cool.
Yeah, Kevin Durant's like on everyone's shit list right now.
Yeah. I know, but I that's even why. No, I would have loved to see him up there, especially with those four, because these are the top the greats of the greats right now. So it'd be great to see him up there.
I don't think they're very happy with him.
No,
I think, but they're close. Like, yeah, they're like good friends. I mean, they've made it, so that's like their bond. Maybe they made a decision to come up, and oh, yeah. I wonder if they were like, I want to go Austin.
Maybe
ESPN
was just like, you four, why don't you do this? You know,
I think maybe they came up together, and because I know, I don't know, but Carmelo was very vocal about this. Maybe he brought together his boys, like, this is what we should start off the show with, us four, and do it. I think.
I don't know if they have that kind of power to just, you know, roll up the ESPN and be like, this is what we're going to do on a big political statement like that.
I don't know.
I think
it was all a part of the show. I mean, those things are written out. It's scripted. It's like, it's rehearsed. Everybody knows kind of what's going on by the time the show starts. I think they wanted it to go in that direction, and it went in direction.
Yeah,
but it didn't go too far. Like, there was never a moment. I was waiting for that moment where I was like, oh, my God. You know, like, where they're doing too much. I always feel like those shows have that moment sometimes.
They do, you're right.
And they didn't say anything, you know, like you said, they didn't say anything that was overreaching.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It was all positive.
Agreed.
Okay, so we'll talk more about that in our bonus take, but let's move on to Craig Sager. Craig Sager wins the Jimmy V, or is awarded the Jimmy V Perseverance Trophy. His acceptance speech, and Josh got to interview him.
Yeah, great interview. Probably interview of my life.
Yeah,
yeah,
so good.
For sure. That's Let me solid. Put his jacket on. I didn't even ask. He just took it off and put his jacket on me. It was nice, man. Fit really well, too. So
Josh interviewed Craig Sager on Tuesday night at the ESPYs Body Issue event at Avalon in Hollywood.
Check that out on our sister channel, AfterBuzz.
AfterBuzz TV. Yeah. I thought his speech was very inspiring, and this is, it felt very reminiscent of Stuart Scott on that stage. And I was just like, first of all, I cried the whole ESPYs, like from the beginning with Carmelo and CP3 and D-Wade and LeBron to, Xavion, what's his last name? Dobson, Xavion Dobson. Yeah, Xavion Dobson's mom, and her speech to the sergeant with the disability to create, like, I was like, the ESPYs make you cry. But I just felt very, I felt sad watching Craig Sager up there. I was inspired, but I felt really sad because it really felt that, like, that he's in the twilight.
Yeah, I mean, we have been watching him for, you know, most of our lives, mm-hmm. I mean, especially those, you know, and we are aspiring to be where Craig Sager is, you know. So, of course, we've been seeing him do his thing on the sideline for so long now, watching NBA on TNT and seeing him with his crazy outfits. I mean, it is, it's sad to see him in this position. But he's such a fighter. He's strong.
Right.
His family's behind him. He has a whole world of people behind him who's really pushing for him, and supporting him. it is something that brings tears to your eyes.
It does.
It was pretty emotional. I mean, he is an icon, and you know, he, as a reporter, and it did kind of remind me of Stuart Scott, and that was very emotional for me as well. So, just watching like the recaps of the ESPYs, and that was pretty emotional for me as well.
It was powerful. It was super powerful, and that's another thing. I think just overall, it was a good balance, you know, because he didn't talk about anything about that, what was going on. You know what I mean? Yeah. But he still made his stamp. He made his mark, and I'm sure he left a lot. You know, even we all felt it, so we can only imagine, you know, the thousands and millions of people that he touched, man. And it was just a good balance, man. That show, like you said, it had some ups that really made you say, wow, that was dope. And then it had some wow that really made you, you know, think and feel bad and reminisce. It was a great emotional show, man. And his speech will definitely be remembered, man. It was great.
And that's sports. You know, anytime you put sports in a story and just have the story about overcoming and triumph, it pulls on your heartstrings.
It does.
You know,
right.
Sports and athletics just brings that out of us to see. Right. It's all a story of overcoming and just, you know, using your physical ability, your mental ability, and overcoming obstacles. And that's what life is.
It is. And I think the ESPYs did a fantastic job highlighting that sports is so much more than just what happens on the field or on the court. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we get so wrapped up in our teams and our favorite players and free agency and losing, winning, or losing, you know, if you're a Laker fan. And then you forget. You forget that there's so much more to life. Let's talk about...
Oh, God.
That was fun.
We're back.
Icon Award, Peyton Manning, Abby Wambach, and Kobe. Walking, living legend, man. I feel like Kobe. That's Kanye West.
The top of the top, man. That was right in line. I mean, every one of those athletes has did it at the highest level, has won it. Has won the championship, World Cup, everything. I mean, it was really just cool just to see, like,
that was cool.
And we know all of them, like, we grew up watching them, like, we can verify with them, like, back in the day, like, when there were moments where we couldn't. So I think it's cool because I followed all of their careers ever since I started watching sports.
Me too.
You know something about Peyton Manning? I watched this guy, and you know, you never really know. We just get a glimpse of who they are because we view them on the field or on the court. But, you know, it seems like he's just the nicest guy, the most considerate person, and I hope he's like that, you know, in his personal life. Because you never know about these guys. But watching him, he's like the consummate professional. He's always, I mean, he's just a good guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, and watching him up there, I like that guy a lot, Peyton Manning, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. He's sharp, too.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, as an SEC girl, I always got to shout out my best conference in college football, Dre.
Arguably.
Yeah. Definitely. I remember, you know, growing up in elementary school, my sister was at the University of Georgia, and the Dogs, we would play Tennessee, and I remember watching, you know, watching him as a little girl, and then, of course, watching him for the Colts, and just watching his entire career in person, especially in college, when he was in college, and that's a really neat memory to remember being in elementary school and seeing Peyton Manning be as great as he was in Tennessee, and then to see him in retirement at the ESPYs yesterday, because I was there.
Now, Abby Wambach, though, I know who she is, and I've seen her play in some games. Not as familiar with her whole career, just probably the latter part with, you know, her in the last couple Women's World Cups. Mm-hmm. I know she's up there. She's tops of her game. Mm-hmm. And I think she holds a record for most goals scored between men and women.
Yep.
But what do you guys know about her at all?
Yeah, I did. I actually liked Mia Hamm as well. I'm not sure if you've
seen her. Yeah, Mia Hamm, for sure.
Yeah, those two. I mean, I was never a soccer player, but I enjoyed watching the games. And Abby and Hope Solo, I think she's still a goalie. Sydney LaRue. And, you know, I follow women's sports. So Abby, she's been an icon. She's up there with Mia Hamm, too. So it was cool to see her there, too.
Between the two, do you know who's considered to be the best between Mia and...
I
remember Mia growing up.
Honestly,
I don't know as much about
Abby. I think right
now...
I don't know. I would probably say Mia made probably more of an impact. I think if you're going by, like, who knows, like, the names.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't know anything about soccer, I think you probably would hear Mia Hamm, like, that name. You're like, oh, that name sounds familiar, other than, like, Abby's.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she was around when the women's soccer was more formative, too, in its formative years, and getting off the ground and getting more traction.
Right.
Walking living legend Kobe, I liked his comment about, he said his English teacher in high school said, don't rest at the middle, rest at the end. And I thought that was a really good quote, really good words to live by that you can carry with you forever. And, you know, Kobe's career has been a portfolio of ups and downs, a lot of ups, and most recently, a lot of downs. And he even picked on himself, you know, for having the most dismal season ever in his last season. But his finishing words to wrap up his speech, he said, I'm not finished. And I don't know. I think Kobe is becoming more liked post career mm-hmm. than he was during his actual playing career. He actually seemed likable last night. He seemed likable.
What's next for the Mamba?
I think everybody loves Kobe. I think it was just so hard to see him struggling like he struggled at the end. You know what I mean? And then you start finding ways to pick on him, like, oh, he's shooting too much. He's mm-hmm. but it's like, I mean, he gave everything he had until his body ran out. You know what I mean? Right. And what more, what better way would you have wanted to see, like, an athlete like that, an icon like that, go out in a sport?
Yeah,
like
that game was...
I mean, I'm not a huge Kobe fan, but you can never take away, you know, the fact that, you know, he's... I mean, he went out... He had nothing
It's his
else
character, too. He's yeah. such a hard worker. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he put everything on the line that game. And that's just been his story, like, working out so hard, and just giving his all. Like, you can see it in his face, like, his facial expressions, and just, like, he was exhausted.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't feel real that Kobe's done, and he's not going to be on the Lakers next season, but, you know, I was a little emotional.
For sure.
I mean, still ain't win no games or nothing, so it's going to pretty much be the same.
Rebuilding, okay?
And congrats to Kobe and Vanessa. Well, she's pregnant. They're pregnant with their third girl.
Kobe girl, yes.
I'm like, okay.
I was hoping it was a boy.
I was like, what did Kobe do in his lifetime to deserve three girls? Like, why can't Kobe have a boy, y'all? Like, come on.
I was surprised that Vanessa, they're having a baby now. I thought she would probably have maybe another one mid-season and then have another boy. Like, just go for it until you have a boy. I would. You need to have another Kobe Bryant.
I mean, you would hope so.
I mean, you would wonder what Kobe Bryant's son would be like if he would, you know, turn into a good basketball player, unlike Michael Jordan.
Oh my gosh, I just had a conversation with someone that said the same thing.
poor Mike. Arthur Ashe Courage Award was awarded posthumously to Knoxville, Tennessee football player, high school football player, Xavion Dobson, who was shot and killed in a drive-by mm-hmm. shooting. He was killed protecting two of his female friends at the age of 15, December 17th of last year. His mom and two brothers accepted the award in his honor. Another part of the show where we talked politics and gun violence and community. Thoughts on that, on the Xavion being awarded?
Man,
that was sad
to see his mom have to get up there and kind of go through that whole experience. But it was necessary, you know, for somebody who's really experienced it, you know, who's been through the heart, the pain, the everything, the process that goes behind it, and to also, you know, not hear her get up there and just bash and just say, you know, she kept her composure,
she
you know,
did.
And that's hard to do. You know, that's really hard to do. And that was tough for me to watch, though. I can't lie. That was real touching for me. That was a good part of the show for me. So, what about y'all?
Yeah. Well, no, I have to agree. I mean, it was emotional. It was a good. I mean, like Erica said, the ESPYs the whole time. It's pretty emotional. And great.
Before we move on to Raina's NBA free agency talk, want to acknowledge Sergeant Elizabeth Marks, who received the Pat Tillman Award for bravery. She's the sergeant who has a disability in her left leg, and she's still a competitive swimmer. And she talked about how, you know, even when you think you're alone as a serviceman or woman, always know that somebody is cheering for you.
Yeah.
Eric Berry's speech about honor and legacy. You know, he came back, you know, from having leukemia.
Good speech.
I loved how he talked about, you know, don't make fighting the battle of cancer about yourself, make it about honoring the ones before you and leaving a legacy for those who will come after you. I thought that was very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can apply that to not just that battle, but anything that you go through in life. I don't know. Any other highlights, lowlights, fashion, snubs, surprises?
I like seeing the athletes outside of, you know, the court and the field dressing up. I think they were all dressed really nice. Mm-hmm. And to see their wives dressed nice, too. I like the fashion part of the ESPYs.
Sierra, Mrs. Wilson.
Miss Wilson.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Dre, nice. Fashion.
No mention of Steph Curry.
Everybody, I'm a big fashion.
Came on, he won.
Aisha looked pretty. Oh, he won.
He poked fun at himself a little bit.
What did he win?
Record breaking.
Record breaking. But the Cavs and LeBron. I mean, it was their show. Yeah, it was their show. Okay. Hope you guys enjoyed the ESPYs as much as we did. Raina, what you got?
Yes, the NBA free agency. Let's talk about the first move, I guess. The 4th of July, Kevin Durant makes his decision.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Mozgov. I'm like, Timothy Mozgov.
Mozgov, we're not going to talk about Mozgov.
Come on.
We're not.
Bismack Biyombo.
No. Kevin Durant makes his decision, 4th of July, to leave the Thunder and go play for the Warriors. He's received a lot of criticism for making that move. From some, like, Stephen A. Smith said that he was, I don't know exactly the quote, but he was basically saying that he's a punk for leaving OKC to go play for the team that beat them in the finals.
Yeah.
So some people are taking that role. Some people are excited for him. I thought he was coming to the Lakers. I was clearly wrong.
Did you really?
I did. I said Lakers. I thought he was going to come to L.A. But now I'm convinced Russ is going to come to LA next year. But so what are your thoughts on KD? Do you agree with Stephen Smith, or do you think that this is a good move for the Warriors, that for him personally to go to the Warriors? Erica, let's start with you, girl.
listen. I think we said on a couple of shows ago that if he went to the Warriors, I think that was a cop out move, and not because they beat them and put them out when they were up 3-1, but because. Again, if you're a superstar, you go to a team that has potential, you go to a team that's on the precipice. You don't go to a team that has been to back-to-back finals, that has the back-to-back NBA MVP. So basically, you're hopping on the bandwagon, the Golden State bandwagon, like everyone else in the nation has in the past 2 years. And okay, yes, I know he met with the Clippers, and y'all know I'm a Clipper fan, but I would have liked to have seen him go somewhere like the Clippers so he could say, this team has struggled to get over the hump for X amount of years. When I came here, I did this. What he's doing instead is saying, this team has been good for 3 years, and Steph Curry is a back-to-back MVP, and they went to the back-to-back finals. Like, how is that good for your legacy? I think that really puts an asterisk by your legacy, and I think for people who are like my friends from UGA, my football player friends are always like, well, he has to make the best decision for himself because an owner will trade you in a second when they get a chance to. But I'm like, your fans are invested. Like, your fans are, we buy your jerseys, we buy your tickets, we buy your $300 shoes, we retweet your stupid tweets. I'm not saying you have to make decisions based on what the fans think, but I think you do have to consider your legacy. And I think going to the Warriors definitely puts a smear on his legacy.
What do you think, John?
I think KD just has to be it. You know what I'm saying? Like, because now he's in a position where he's going to have to rise up. It happened with Kobe Bryant. It's happened with LeBron James, where it's like this cloud, and everybody turns on you because of the decision that you make. And then that's your time to stand up and to play your ass off and to play your role and get that team to winning the NBA championship.
They won last year.
It doesn't matter. Did they win this year? No. So that means there was something, there was a piece, that was missing from not getting it. The same thing that happened last year with LeBron James. The pieces around him were missing, and then he came back this year, and they had it.
I don't think Golden State was missing any pieces, per se. They may have missed some rebounds that caused them to lose that game, but as far
and
as personnel...
Well, missed defensively. Did they win?
No. So they need another piece, and he might be the piece, and he should be the piece, and this is his chance to be the piece.
I thought
they
were going
to
go a whole other way with this.
Well, this is my thing. No, and to be the guy. That's what I think.
He's not going to be the guy. They already have three guys. But go ahead, Raina. I'm sorry.
He's got to be
Kevin Durant. I'm going to say Durant. I don't know why. But Kevin Durant can do whatever Kevin Durant wants to do.
Right.
It's his decision. So if he wants to go to the Warriors, Lakers, Washington, who cares? It's going to be a fun team again to watch.
It is.
All of the world is going to tune in to watch the Warriors and see what they do. We're talking about it now. Everyone's going to keep talking about it this season. It's going to be huge for the ownership, huge for the fans. I mean, who wouldn't want to join a team that's winning and having fun doing it?
Were you surprised
that he was going to the Warriors?
I was surprised, but hey, why not? It's his life.
I was surprised. I thought he was going to stay. Oh, no, no. I thought he was going to go to the Lakers. My second thing, I was like, okay, if he doesn't go to Lakers, I think he might stay and stay with Russ and maybe whatever.
Right, one-year deal, sign, then, wait till, you know, the next year, see what they do.
But I think with Kevin Durant, him being... having a reputation of being a humble player, mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest things that he looks for is maybe chemistry and to be related, like to relate to his teammates, have a good relationship off the court as well. Mm-hmm. And so maybe with the Clippers, they haven't really had great chemistry. That probably was something that he looked at. Like, I don't know if I'm going to get meshed with these guys very well. I don't know. That's just what I'm thinking. And then the Warriors.
But you got Draymond going to jail over the weekend, so I don't know how he's going to mesh with that either.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
But then you have the Warriors who, I mean, they seem like they have fun. You know, good, I guess, relationships off the court. I mean, they've renowned.
I got a question for you.
What?
Because I want to know, okay, so what happens if he goes to the Lakers? What do you say about him then? What do you think about him?
I mean, if he goes to the Lakers, it's that to me is a dumb decision because why would you go spend...
Okay, now where would you like to see him go play at, Eric?
I told you, ideally...
Did you text him and tell him where you
were? I said either the Clippers or the Knicks.
Oh, okay.
Because those are two teams.
What about the Clippers if he goes to the Clippers?
I think somebody's sour.
What would you say?
Honestly, I'm not sour because KD didn't come to the Clippers. I think that it makes you look like a coward. Like, I think that...
So if you went to the Clippers with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin...
But look how average the Clippers are in postseason. Like, we keep getting knocked out of the first and second round. If you can come in and be the superhero and get a team that's, again, on the precipice that hasn't gotten over the hump yet and turn a franchise and a culture around who hasn't been... We haven't been to a Western Conference Finals either. So a KD coming to that team and turning that whole culture around means a lot more than going to the Warriors, whose culture has done a 180 in the
maybe
past 2 years.
Maybe it doesn't matter to him, though. Maybe it doesn't matter.
I
think he just wants to win.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's chasing
the championship.
He wants that ring.
Like David West. You can chase rings, be a coward, whatever. But that's my opinion. I think Kevin Durant is taking the easy way out. I stand firmly. He's taking the easy way out.
Why would you want to make it hard? Like, I mean, go make that money.
Like
get an easy ring.
Michael Jordan didn't jump ship when the Pistons were beating them.
What if he goes to Golden State next year and wins a ring? What are you going to say to him when he gets done?
I don't think they're going to win a ring.
What if he's the piece that they were missing and he's supposed? What are you going to say?
But that's
if he
the
went?
Thing. Like I don't think
what
that
do you think?
I don't think that Kevin Durant was the godsend piece that they were missing.
But what if he is?
Definitely not.
But what if he is? And what if they win?
If they win, I'm gonna be like, you freaking coward! Like you took the easy way out. There's a smear mark on your legacy. Again, that's my.
I think that's
opinion.
Just the difference in the NBA today versus the NBA back then
in the 90s. Yeah,
and I think that you know it's politics. It's like wanting to win the ring. I mean, there's been different moves too, but I mean. Hey, you never know. I think this puts a lot more pressure on the Warriors than it does to have Warriors. They have to. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think Steph said that they're obviously not going to go undefeated. They're not going to break that record that they had last year. But it does put a lot of pressure on them. Like, oh, you have all these keys. Like, you should be able to.
And people compare KD going to the Warriors like LeBron's decision. But again, when LeBron went to the Heat, he had, you know, Chris Bosh came and D-Wade was there. But they hadn't won a championship at that point in 5 years. I think they won in 05, 06, whatever that season.
Who's making that comparison?
A lot of people.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that comparison.
Oh, my God. D-Wade
was at the prime of his game, too, during that time, I think, when LeBron went to the Heat. So
people are trying to draw a parallel.
Yeah, they were one of the top teams.
Well, but they weren't coming off two back-to-back NBA Finals appearances, and I think that's what makes the biggest difference. You can do like Josh said, you can do whatever you want to do. It's a free nation. I can leave here and go to the liquor store. I can leave here and go eat a whole pizza. It's my decision. KD's decision was to go jump ship and go take the easy way out, and that's my opinion about that.
Well, there's so much pressure on these guys, though, to win a ring. I think a lot of people at the end of their career, will say, you know, if you didn't win a ring... you weren't as good a player or something like that. There are many good players who didn't win rings.
Charles
Great players,
Barkley,
phenomenal players
Nash.
Who didn't win rings. But there's still that, you know, that thing that says you have to have this ring.
Yeah,
and that puts you in a whole
nother.
Like,
And these days, you have to have a squad to be in the running for that ring. It's not like the olden days, you can have one guy and then a couple little people. You kind of got to have three players that's all high caliber players, you know.
And who's to say it's going to work out? Because, I mean, there's a lot of ball sharing that's going to have to happen there because you know, you got another superstar coming to the team. That's less ball time for everybody else.
And he might not fit with the system that they usually run, too. We'll never know. Moving on, I guess let's talk about Tim Duncan. He didn't make a dramatic exit, but he is retiring from the NBA after 19 years with the Spurs. It was interesting to see Pop's emotional response to Tim leaving. They obviously had a great bond. So how do you guys think the Spurs will be after Tim leaves? Like, how do you think that Pop would rebuild? Like, what do you think about
I think they're going to be good. I think he's smart.
Me too.
I think they're doing exactly what they need to do. What they need is somebody to play that mid-range, that jumper, give them that mid-range game. Because they've played so long with him there, to take him out, you got to have somebody who can hop in and do what he does. That's why you go get Paul Gasol. Somebody who's been playing. Now, granted, he's
and
not
Aldridge
quite.
Aldridge can do that, too.
He's not quite. Right, but Aldridge is a little bit older. Gasol is a little bit older. But then now you bring in the new rookie that brought in a rookie guy, Burton, who's also a pretty good power forward. You know what I mean? So you got two vet guys. Uh-huh. They're trying to find somebody to fill that gap. And they got great point guards. They got Ginobili. They got Tony Parker. Yeah.
Keep the same system going.
Like
just put in the plug in a new piece that can fill
in
the same
piece there. Yeah. And then they brought in the new, I think it's Dwayne Coleman, the new point guard. You know, for them to start teaching him. You know, now you got Tony Parker, because they're not going to be here for two much longer. I think they got a system, and they're just trying to find somebody to fit that system in that mode.
I think that they're going to be Pop is a smart coach, probably one of the smartest in the NBA. I think instead of the Spurs being so focused on Tim and like him being the main man of their offense, I think they're probably going to switch it to be more a guard oriented offense. Maybe until whoever the post player is to step in until they like. They step in and they can handle like the game or Tim Duncan's game and step into his shoes as hard as it is. But I think they're going to be okay. I mean,
I say they make the playoffs too.
Oh my God, yeah, I think they make the playoffs in probably I would say no lower than a five seed.
He brings something different every year.
Who,
like
Pop.
I think
you can make an argument
coach.
For him being the best coach of all time.
Oh yeah, and
strong argument.
Definitely, yeah.
And he always like I always compare him to Belichick. Like I feel that Popovich takes unknown, you know, players, whether they're from overseas or from smaller schools, and he sees a diamond in the rough, and he helps that diamond in the rough be polished, and he makes them fit into their system. And yeah, so I think the Spurs will still be a playoff contender,
a consistent team throughout the years too, because he has such a big role in recruiting and bringing somebody on the team instead of just being the head coach, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
I just love that Gasol move. I think it's so crazy.
Back on the West.
Yeah, that system, man. I think it's just all about the system. And I don't think they want it to be like, we lost Duncan, now our team went down. Because I think Pop wants to maintain that this is the best team. No matter what happens, we can always argue and say they play the best team ball together.
We can always argue
whether they win or not.
Gasol plays similar to Tim Duncan. Just, you know, turnaround jumper.
And he's got a little bit more range,
he can pass, too. So,
can pass. He got a little bit more range.
They'll be all right.
I'm not worried about this. I'm excited to see him.
Did they get somebody else, though?
D-Wade. Let's talk about D-Wade.
Oh, D-Wade left the Heat and is going back home to Chicago. I think it was a good move. Personally, I'm not sure if you guys agree with me, but do you think that D-Wade is, like, reaching the end of his career and he wanted to retire and at home and, you know, be around his family? Like, what are your thoughts on him leaving the Heat? Or do you think he should have stayed with them and finished off like Kobe, like Tim? What do you guys think?
I don't think it was – it may have been a little bit about going back to Chicago, but I don't think that was the whole thing. I think – initially the reports came out that he had wanted more – time on his contract. I think Miami offered him 2. He wanted 3 years. No one was really giving him 2. I think Miami offered $40 million over 2 years.
Chicago gave 47.5.
Right. I think there was who was the team that offered 50.
Somebody offered. Oh, probably was it Milwaukee or
no. Somebody offered 50. But I think it's more about you see Dwayne Wade has been taking some pay cuts over the last couple of contracts to bring in other pieces. And I think he wants to be paid market value. And there's that and the fact that he's going back home. So, going back home thing isn't the sole purpose, I think.
How do you think that he will mesh with Rondo playing point guard, too? Who's the other guard on Chicago?
Cole.
Butler? Wait, why am I? Gibson, Butler, D-Wade, Rondo.
Butler with the hair, Butler.
Butler.
Yeah.
Butler.
Jimmy Butler. No, 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 Butler. No.
He's at the, he's still with
wait,
the Bulls.
Jimmy Butler, he's not a guard though. Wait.
He's a guard. Guard. He's a guard. He's a guard shooting.
He's a one or two. Yeah, he's a one or two. I think it's, I think it's a little bit of both. I definitely think it's the fact that he wants to go back and he wants to finish home. I think he knows that he's kind of on his down, mm-hmm. On his down. I think it's a decent opportunity for them to possibly do something. But I think he really, really wants to be home. And I was reading an interview that he had, and he made a quote, and this is what he said. He says, "The rings are a little bit different in my ears." Oh, okay, so this is what he said. He basically said him going back to Chicago rings a little bit different in his ears than it'll ring in anybody else's eyes or ears ever. And I think the fact that he said that means that he wants... Think about the speech that he just gave at ESPYs about giving back. He was one of the guys who said, we should give back to our community.
And Chicago has major problems with gun violence.
Exactly, and he's from there. You know what I mean? So I think that he's at a point of his life where he's kind of like, I am going down. They are going to pay me the most. But now I can start building my mark where I came from. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And start thinking about that next chapter of my life. You know what I mean? Like after basketball. That's kind of my... It made me think that when I saw that, when I saw the whole ESPYs thing and been thinking about everything that he's doing and putting it together. So
last contract,
that's my opinion.
Oh my god,
I think so.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think so. And I think
2 years and he's done.
Yeah, well, 2 years maybe for sure. Three. And then like people are demonizing D-Wade for leaving, and people are demonizing and vilifying Pat Riley for not paying him the money, but I think that Pat Riley is smart and he makes good personnel decisions. And I think that yes, D-Wade was promised certain money, you know, because he took so many pay cuts over the years. But like, you know, I keep going back to the Lakers. Like that organization paid so much money to Kobe, and they weren't able to do anything else. And I know that Kobe deserved it because he's one of the best of all time. And I know you know you're paying him that money just based on principle. But you pay somebody that kind of money based on principle who's literally on his last leg and leaves you no room to rebuild and to be ready for the future. And so I think Pat Riley respects and reveres D-Wade and what he did for the franchise and how he helped them win three rings. But he also knows that we won't have any cap space to go after a Russell Westbrook next year or whoever else is coming, you know, hot, you know, in free agency next year. So I think it was smart for D-Wade to leave because he probably does deserve to be paid maximum, to be the maximum paid player on his team. I think it's also smart for Pat Riley and that organization to be like, we're not paying you your max because we have to move on.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chicago's a cold place.
Chicago.
It's not Miami. Sure.
No, it's not. But he's from there.
Yeah, Gabrielle,
you know, it's nothing like home. No place like home. So,
real fast. We only have a couple minutes left. Last week we were off, but you know, last week was the tumultuous week of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile's murders. I want to say murder. I hate when the media says officer involved shooting. When these police officers murdered Alton Sterling, Philando Castile, both of them went viral. Both of these incidents went viral, and Philando Castile's fiance live streamed his murder on Facebook. And then, of course, Thursday night of last week, Micah Johnson, the alleged assassin in Dallas, as a retaliation, killed five officers and wounded seven others, I believe, in Dallas. And then since then, there have been some other killings in Michigan of bailiffs. It's just copycats. So I want to, you know, get your brief perspective on where you think we are after last week with the protests and race relations and our perception of law enforcement as a country right now.
This is close to me because I just got married. I got a son on the way, you know, due in a couple weeks. August 1st, my wife is due. And I think at the end of the day, man, now it's sad that we've come this far, but now it's to a point where we just have to teach and warn our kids and prep our kids on how to dress and prep our kids on what to say and prep our kids on if you're ever really involved with a police officer, in order to not get shot, you need to, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy that we really have to, but when it's every freaking 6 weeks,
literally,
that it's happening, like
a new hashtag every few weeks. It's ridiculous. It's sickening.
Right, but what we gotta realize is that it's not gonna change. Like we should stand up and we should speak out and we should, especially if you want to, because if you feel it in your heart, you should say something. Mm-hmm. Like that's why we're saying something mm-hmm. right now. But at the end of the day, it's not going to change. Mm. You know what I mean? Because the police's job is to protect and serve their jurisdiction where they are, and in their eyes, they're always going to think that they're protecting. They're always in every move, and it's unfortunate, but it's always two sides to every story too. Just as much as now, I'm not saying you should ever just shoot, but his job, we always got to realize his motives was to protect and to serve. At least that's what he swore to. Now we should do a better job of making sure. We should do a better job of making sure that these officers abide by what they say that they live for. But I don't think the intentions is to kill people. I don't think that's their intention to just kill people.
I strongly disagree.
I don't think that's any human being's intention.
See, and I think you have a good heart. I think you have a really good heart, and I think that someone with a good heart and a clear conscience, and you know, who believes the best in people, is saying something that you're saying. And I don't think that every police officer is bad. I don't think that every black man that gets, you know, killed is a saint. But what I do believe is that our country is founded on the principle of you're innocent until proven guilty. And everyone has a right to a fair trial. A fair trial is not getting gunned down in the street. And people keep talking about Alton Sterling had all these past incidents. He served time and paid his price and had his jury trials for the things that he had done that were against the law. You don't have the right to shoot me on the spot. Period. Like if I am not threatening you, I mean, I'm sorry that I'm big and black and tall and that's threatening to you. If I'm not threatening you, you don't have the right to kill me. You don't have the right to kill somebody with a busted taillight. And then to keep pointing the gun.
But we have to get smart enough to not even get on the ground. And we have to be smart enough to know, because what happened was he's rolling around and he pulls out a gun. We gotta put ourselves in position where they don't need to put us on the ground.
But what about Orlando Castillo? He's in his car with his seatbelt on and says, "Officer, I'm licensed and carry to conceal." Like what? I mean, there's like Dre.
And his kid was in the back seat.
And there's so
it's horrible. That is horrible. Mm,
okay,
it is horrible.
Josh, Raina, what? I'm sorry. We're.
I mean, it's sad. It's terrible. I think that, you know, I don't think, if we're going to talk about, like, Black Lives Matter, I think that it's, right now, people are saying, oh, it's all lives matter. You know, the whites, you know, the Mexicans, Asians, all lives matter. All lives do matter, but currently, right now, it's the black lives that are being taken from us. I think unfortunately, the law enforcement, I don't think anything's going to change anytime soon. Something's got to give. Not sure how it's going to happen. But hopefully, you know, all you got to do is pray. And, you know, if you have cousins, son, like your son, you still have to pray for them every day you leave them. That's, you know, something, unfortunately, that's how our world is right now. And you just have to, I don't know, just stay positive. And it's just, it's a hard situation. Like, I don't know. It's so sad.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't really know how to change everything.
I would like to say that it's a very difficult conversation to have, and especially to try to have it in 4 minutes as we got to the end of the show. But I want every American to remember how we got this country. We got America by Anglo-Saxons coming to this country and essentially committing a genocide on Native Americans. We got this country by Europeans going to Africa and engaging in the slave trade, and not only bringing Africans here against their will, but enslaving them and basically systematically handicapping them for hundreds of years. So when you want to talk about all lives matter and talk about being fair and get mad at people for looting or rioting or being violent, or like the Micah Johnson guy, who a former Miss Alabama USA actually said on her vlog that she thought he was a martyr, when you want to criticize people for acting violently, remember that white ancestors of America killed Native Americans to get this land. White ancestors of America brought slaves over here to build this country. So we didn't get this Christian land by not using violence. So just remember that. Just remember, there's not been one revolution in this world in history that has happened without some kind of violence. So people need to get out their high horses and be a little bit more empathetic. Okay, well, Sports Weekly. Sports Weekly. Sports Weekly.
We'll see you guys 100%. In 2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks. So it's the 28th, I think.
Let that sink in.
28th, July 28th. We're doing every other week right now, and then we are back to our full schedule in August. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Snapchat, Periscope, Twitter, and on Instagram at Erica Renee D.
Andre Dean, you know what it is. I am Andre on Instagram and Twitter. What are you?
With a U.
What are you?
Raina Ale. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina _ Ale with an H.
And I'm Joshua Johnson. Find me on social media at JJ the Talented.
And as always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow Black Hollywood Live on Twitter at BHL Online. And follow us on Instagram at The Sports Weekly.
It's popping.
July 28th. Yes. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Thanks.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.